Welcome to Optimal Health for Busy Entrepreneurs, the podcast for busy and high-performing entrepreneurs and leaders who are looking to create more energy and optimize their health while upgrading their brain and personal performance with precision. I am your host, Julian Hayes II. I've been involved with health and performance for over a decade. This podcast was created for the high performer who is unapologetically ambitious, the one who moves at a fast pace and operates with an edge, the one who wants to become superhuman. Nothing here is fluff, gimmicky, or feel good. I have little to no interest in simply helping you improve your life. I want to help transform it. By listening to this podcast, expect to have a body that feels just as good as it looks. Expect to possess a swagger and style that gives off an infectious vibe. Expect to command the stage or any boardroom you walk into with your executive presence. And lastly, expect to become your most enhanced self so you can live a limitless life. Now, let's get to the show. Welcome to another episode of Optimal Health for Busy Entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Julian Hayes II, back at it again. And in this episode, I'm going to do something that I've never done before in the history of this podcast. I'm going to share what I'm up to these days. Specifically, I'm going to give a behind-the-scenes look into the type of training that I'm doing, my nutritional strategy and approach to that, some of the lessons that I've already learned when it comes to my marathon training, and how these lessons are applicable to both your health and your business, especially in today's climate. So as you know, this podcast is about the marriage between health and business and how they're similar to each other. And if you like this type of episode and you find it valuable, definitely let me know, and I will do these periodically in the future and even do some episodes addressing just listener questions as well. I can do those as well. So definitely let me know. I am here to serve you all. So nevertheless, a little over a year ago, I was stressed and helping my father at that time, who was struggling as well. And even before that, over the last year or two, I was really on cruise control with my health and fitness. And when I'm in this mode, I'm weighing around 185 pounds-ish, somewhere in that ballpark. But to be exact, a year ago, because I documented it, I weighed 182 pounds. And when I stress, I don't eat. Not at all. Barely. Non-existent. I know some people are the opposite, and they pretty much eat their feelings. But I starve my feelings. Neither case is ideal, but it's good to know which spectrum that you fall into. So after my father passed away, I realized that I needed to build myself back up. Mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and of course physically, first and foremost. My gym was still closed at that time, so I ordered some jump ropes, and these were cross ropes to be exact, which is fantastic jump ropes. They're a little more expensive than the typical jump rope, but they are awesome. I cannot speak highly enough of them. There are different weighted ropes that you can get as well, so they do pack a punch. I had a kettlebell, and I had a bag to do some boxing with as well. And so I interviewed a handful of guests who were into running, and they talked about the benefits, not just physically or how it benefits their HRV, their heart rate, and that kind of stuff, but they talked about what it did for them mentally and emotionally and spiritually, and how it also translated to their everyday life. And that was something that I was desperately seeking at that time. So I gave it a try. I was also doing a program called 75 Hard, which is really just a mental toughness challenge, but I needed something to keep myself accountable, and that program was really good for that. So I fast forward some time here. I started to enjoy running, gradually increased my distance over time, and I was back at the gym as well. The gyms were back open. And fast forward even more, I think it was a Saturday night, and I just said, screw it. I signed up for a marathon at a dream destination that I want to go to. And I needed a challenge. And signing up is one of the first steps that you can take in any endeavor, in any goal. Sometimes for people, I have a newer client who's starting, and just filling out the application is a big step. Something as simple as that is a big step. So for you out there, just investing in some type of program is a critical step. And I think you signal to the universe that you're truly wanting to change, truly wanting to do something different. Not to get too woo-woo on you, but I do believe in that kind of stuff. But back to my current training plan before I digress on that. I didn't want to do the traditional marathon training and just let my strength training and work subside and fall to the wayside. So I got some help. I got on a program that provided guidance for a guy like me, for an athlete like myself. I want to not only improve my endurance, but I also want to keep my strength work at focus and even improve on it if I can to the best of my ability. So essentially, I want to be a hybrid athlete. So I'm currently, as I'm recording this, wrapping up my first official training block. I'm on week 4, and it's a deload week. Deloading means it's typically when you hear deloading and there's programs, it's basically a reduction in volume that you've been doing for the first 3 weeks. So most programs will gradually increase in intensity for those first, for weeks 1, 2, and 3. It'll ramp up, and then you will deload and back off a little bit before starting the next training block. So I tend to just look at things in a 12-week outlook. Now, I have a little over 18 weeks right now until the event. So the next 12 weeks is focused, obviously, on the marathon. And the back half, after not these 12 weeks, but the next 12 weeks will be focused on the marathon, but will also be focused heavily on recovery and rejuvenation as well. And also probably thinking about the next goal as well. So as for my metrics right now, I'm back up to 195 pounds. I feel great at this weight. Much stronger, much more vitality and energy to myself. 10 pounds makes a lot of difference for me. And I did a body recomp over the last year, meaning that I wanted to gradually build my weight back up and not gain too much body fat while doing it. And so I'm 5'11 as well, just to paint a better picture of the metrics here. And so 5'11, 195 pounds, isn't the typical distance runner's build. Also, my genetics is not favorable for endurance activities. I'm much more tilted toward being a power athlete. This is evidenced by the sports that I chose as well. I played basketball. So this is more reason why I wanted to train endurance, distance, because I wanted to do something that by default I'm supposed to suck at, but I can get good at. So a typical week for me right now, it's 4 days of lifting and it's upper lower split with a dedicated strength day for each of the upper and lower. And then the other 2 days are more of a hypertrophy day where the reps and the volume is a little higher. And I typically run around 4 to 6 days per week. Now, each day isn't a super long run, and it's not super intense every day, much to my surprise. But the breakdown is there's some intervals in there. There's some fartlek runs. There's some long, slow runs. And there's some recovery runs, and there's some zone 2 work as well on the bike. Now, it's tough, but it's just the right amount of tough where I'm not going to put myself into a state of overtraining. So as we move on to nutrition, I'm eating for performance right now, as opposed to aesthetics. And of course, general health principles are still to be followed while I'm eating for performance. So while I could probably eat Skittles and candy and junk food, that's not the best thing to do, because I wouldn't feel good when I'm running probably, and B, my blood work probably would not like that. So the big difference though, when I mentioned performance and aesthetics, and these are two different things, is that when you eat for performance, this is focused on how you're performing, not how you look. Whereas when you eat for aesthetics, when you eat to look your best as your main focus, this is focused on your eating and focused on how you look, not how you're performing. Both of these cases, both of these types of people, they're going to be lean, but it's going to be lean at different levels. The person that's eating strictly for aesthetics focuses on the quantity of the food. Now, this is a skill that I'm currently tinkering with and learning each week. And there's a lot of experimentation, and I haven't quite dialed this in yet. So this is a new endeavor for me. So it's still a lot of learning and exploration. Now, I typically consume between 3,000 and 4,000 calories, depending on my workload and that week's volume. So far, you know, with that wide range, it's looking like 3,300 to 3,500 is my sweet spot. And the reason why I'm talking about numbers now is because you most likely have used one of these calorie calculators and it's given you a number. But it's important to keep in mind, and I even tell clients this, that when I give numbers, that while it's pretty accurate, it's still kind of a guess. And the best way to know if we're doing the right thing is to just keep track of your calories. And then also keep track of your weight. If you're gaining muscle, are you gaining muscle at an appropriate weight? If you're trying to lose fat, are you losing fat? And other metrics as well, I would say, such as, how's your waist? Are you losing inches off your waist? That's going to be the best judge. So you have a number. That's our hypothesis. And then we're going to test this. So that's kind of the stage that I'm still at right now. And that you will be as well. So some meals that are go-to is my morning smoothie, consisting of protein, nut milk, protein powder, 8 to 10 ounces of room temperature water, chia seeds, spinach, 2 large servings of blueberries, a serving of pineapples, and I throw some maca powder and some moringa in there as well, and a couple of other random items that I kind of intersperse and kind of have in a rotation. Now, another staple is I have pancakes, protein pancakes. It's a brand called Kodiak Pancakes. I like them. I eat them plain. I've never really been a guy who's really into syrups and all that stuff. So I'm kind of a robot with food. And I have a cereal called Uncle Sam. I don't really know anybody else who likes this cereal besides me. None of my friends like it. And it always seems to be in full stock at the store. So I'm not sure who's eating that cereal besides myself. And I eat very little red meat, mainly because I don't have the taste for it. And my specific genetics also indicates that I should watch my red meat intake. I eat a lot of sardines, mackerel, and herring. And of course, the staple is chicken because it's easy and it's high in protein. I only use olive oil, algae oil, and macadamia nut oils. And I don't eat nuts, mainly because, once again, my genetics as well. And so I have to be very mindful of my omega-6, omega-3 ratio. Now, I'll talk about my supplement regimen, and it's not too crazy. I will just talk about really the foundational items, as that's probably most beneficial. So I have just a typical regimen. It's vitamin D, K2 supplement, vitamin C. I have zinc and a copper supplement because I like to be very mindful of that ratio with those two. Once again, because of my genetics. I also am finishing up using a DIM and calcium D glucarate supplement. And those two help with estrogen metabolism, and it's a detox supplement. Once again, this is also for my genetics. So it's pretty precise, some of the things that I'm doing right now. And I have a multivitamin, multimineral supplement just to kind of help me fill in the gaps. I have a red and a green drink. I don't think those are necessary. I actually enjoy the taste of them. But once again, these are just more insurance policies because I still, on an average day, get at minimum 10 servings of fruits and vegetables in, and it's mostly vegetables. And I have a magnesium glycinate supplement. I use magnesium glycinate because it helps with sleep more than something like a magnesium threonate, which would be more for cognition. And once again, this is also something that will help with my genetics and also help me to relax at night as well. Because when you're training a lot, you're going to be amped up a lot. So I really need to try to balance my sympathetic, parasympathetic as best as I can. So for the final part of this episode, I want to share a few insights and lessons that I've learned along the way. And I think this is going to apply to both your fitness and your business world. So the first lesson is to set process goals over outcome goals. So perhaps you want to lose 15 pounds. You want to grow your business to multiple six figures, or you just want to complete your marathon like me. And these are all outcomes and they're bounded in time. It's basically a one-time event that we can control to a certain extent, but we don't fully control that. And by us not fully controlling those events, it's best to not place all our chips in that because we're leaving something external instead of internal that we can control. So something that's more ideal, something that we do control, is the process, and the process to put ourselves in the best position to complete those things that we desire. Because the process is what you repeatedly do to achieve an outcome. The process is something that is totally in your control. So maintaining optimal health and your weight isn't really a one-time event if you think about it. It's really an ongoing process. So it's more helpful to set process goals, such as I will train 4 days a week, plus track my calories 6 out of 7 days, instead of I will lose 15 pounds. So the second lesson is to slow down to speed up. You've heard me say this a lot. I even have an episode on this very concept. This philosophy is one of the biggest life-altering philosophies that I've really learned to adopt. So I'm used to sprinting and going balls to the wall anytime I train. Anytime I train, it's high intensity, it's sweating, it's feeling like I'm getting my ass kicked. That's how I typically like to train. But with marathon training, it's a little different. I've had to learn how to pace myself and actually follow directions and stick with the pace that's given to me by the program. I've had to learn to actually do the recovery runs when it's prescribed. But by running slow, I'm going to actually be faster on race day. That made no sense to me at first. But just a brief spill on that. You want to train and you want to operate in your aerobic state as opposed to your anaerobic state for as long as possible. Because you don't want to tap into those glycogen stores too early. And then you hit the wall and you're only 2/3 of the way there. It's going to be very tough then. So most of my training is in this anaerobic state. I mean, not anaerobic, sorry, in this aerobic state. But there are some hard days. But when hard days are prescribed, they're hard. But when easy days are prescribed, they're easy. And you keep those two separate. And this is tough. Because sometimes it feels that you can do much more, but you don't. And I'm sure you feel this way too. There's much more you can do. But we have to keep the long term in mind. We have to realize that we're not just trying to win the battle. We're trying to win the war. That's a key difference. There's battles and then there's wars. We want to win the war, the overall war. So I think about work, and this is like the person who is burning both ends of the candles for 1 week. He's hustling his ass off. But by week three, this person needs a break. He needs to tap out. He's burnt out. But you, on the other hand, you have kept a steady pace and you won't have any incoming burnout because you found a pace, a tempo. You found something that you can consistently do that is also sustainable, that is also going to lead you to your desired outcome. So when you slow down, you can also get focused and develop a precise strategy. Instead of blindly adopting something such as keto or low carb, you can do some preliminary work, such as getting your genetics ran, or simply just doing a lifestyle assessment to see if this plan fits with your specific psychology. Because congruence and alignment is necessary for the long term. We can always force ourselves to follow something that's very restrictive and intense for 2 to 3 weeks. But eventually, that's going to wear out and it's not sustainable. And we're trying to win the war, not just one battle here and there. So lesson three, don't overlook recovery. One of the biggest limitations with performance comes down to recovery. As hard as you train or work in your business, you must equally be diligent with your recovery and your recharging. So this week, I actually had my First Beat device attached to me. This is monitoring every single heartbeat for 3 days to assess my stress, my overall load, my fitness, and my recovery. And as good as I think I am doing, I still have some areas for improvement. I still have some hidden areas of stress that I can work on and further improve. And this is one of the devices that I use with clients at the very beginning as we are doing our assessment, just to get an overall look at how they're living their life. So to get stronger, fitter, leaner, smarter, and even wealthier, you push yourself daily, but then you also recover so you can come back the next day ready to go an inch further, ready to go 1% further. So don't skip the ancillary work. In running, this could be your core work, your form, mobility work, stretching, ice baths, those little things. In business, perhaps it's small customer service things such as writing cards. Maybe it's making your calls every day, following up, writing when you don't feel like it. With your nutrition, it's eating that salad, making that smoothie, keeping track of your calories, the small things. But that's things that add up to the large results. So as we land this ship, I hope this episode provided something of insight to you. It's a little different. I typically don't get on here and just talk about myself a lot, but I do hope that this episode was enjoyable for you and maybe opened your eyes a little bit to something different, or at least to kind of what I do, what the guy behind the mic does. And so let me know what you think about this episode. And I will do more episodes like this, updated episodes with takeaways, if this is something that people like. One idea that I already have in my head right now is to do an episode about the costs required to get in shape. The costs for training for a marathon. The cost for being in shape like a fitness model and so forth. You know, often we want these things. We think they would be exciting and cool to have, but we don't realize the cost for them. We glorify athletes' outcomes, but we don't glorify their processes. We saw Kobe's accolades. We glorify those accolades, but we don't talk enough about Kobe's routines. We don't talk enough about Kobe training 3 times a day. on top of everything else he did. But anyway, as always, stay awesome out there, be limitless, and of course, go be superhuman. Peace. If you are a high-performance entrepreneur, leader, or executive looking to supercharge your energy and become the most enhanced version of yourself without the guesswork, and you're tired of cookie-cutter templates, randomly guessing and hoping the next thing will work, and you actually want a precise and bespoke health optimization and performance roadmap that is in-depth, data-driven, and custom-tailored specifically for you, then my superhuman coaching programs are probably a good fit for you. No stones will be left untouched. Now, it's not a good fit for you if you are someone who does not want to invest the time, the commitment, nor the energy into getting the results. But if you are someone who is ready to start their N of One journey, upgrade their body and brain with precision, and truly live a limitless life, I invite you to apply by heading over to theartoffitnessandlife.com/us, and you'll get the opportunity to talk with me for 60 minutes, and we'll take a deep dive into where you currently are and where you're trying to go, and then we'll decide if this is a good fit for you and me. And if it is, I'll extend an invitation for us to work together. Once again, to apply, head over to theartoffitnessandlife.com/us. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you.